Good morning. We're learning the sugya of Shomrim, discussing specifically a Shomer Chinam. And as we learned, a Shomer Chinam, someone who's watching an item, but he's not getting paid, is a volunteer. So he has a minimal responsibility. If he is negligent, if he is pesheya, he is responsible for what happens. However, in the absence of negligence, if it gets lost, gnev of Havedo or Oynes, something beyond his control, there the halacha is that he's pater. Negligence, pshiyo, is really defined by what his chiyuvei shmira are. And we'd like to discuss today some examples of what type of shmira is appropriate for a shomer chinam. So the first halacha that we discussed last week was that when it comes, if you're given money to watch, the rule was that Moyes Ein Lehem Shmira El Bakarka. Historically, the only secure place to keep money was to bury it in the ground. Now, the Rishonim speak out that was only back then when their houses were much less secure, they weren't locked, the wall, they were easy to breach, and there were many thieves, so leaving something in your house, even if you hide it somewhere in your house, was not considered secure. However, today, where the houses are more secure, the Rishonim speak out, and as a matter of halacha, it's certainly true, you do not have to jackhammer your basement and bury the money. As long as you put it in a secure place, that would be sufficient. Now, what the definition of a secure place is, so there, it really depends on the type of item. If you have heavy beams, if you have construction material, so there, leaving it in your chatzar is sufficient. Although it's in the open, it's not locked, it's not guarded, because it's of minimal value, and it is rather heavy. So we're not choshish that a person's going to walk away with it. If you leave a packet of diamonds in your chatzar, that will clearly be a pshia. So it really depends on both the type of item and the norms of that time. And in fact, the lashon of many rishonim is that as long as you put it with your own items, you guard it the way you guard your own possessions, that is sufficient for a shomer chinam. And that being said, if a person is particularly reckless and irresponsible, that does not mean if he is a shomer, he just uses the same standard of care for others that he does for himself. What it means is what's considered normal, and this is considered a reasonable way to guard it to everyone, as long as you do that, that is sufficient for a shomer chinam. But it does not mean that if a person is particularly, he doesn't bother locking his door, certainly if he does that and something gets stolen, he will be responsible to pay. Now, another interesting halacha is the Gemara discusses if you bring an animal to graze on top of a mountain and it falls down, you're going to be responsible for paying. Animals can fall off mountains. They cannot fall off valleys. So because you took an unnecessary risk, even a shomer chinam is going to be chayiv. However, if on top of the mountain there are better fields, it's better grazing, so in that case, you'd be pater. In other words, you can the same risk, if you take it for absolutely no reason, there's no benefit to it, you just take it out, it's more convenient for you, so you go on top of the mountain and something happens, that's a pshia, and you're going to be responsible. However, in a case where it's being done for the benefit of the animal, this is better grazing, so then already this is considered a calculated and a reasonable risk, and that would not have the level of a pshia. Another example is if a person is guarding an item and bandits come and they steal it. So the theft itself is gnev aveda or potentially an oynis, depending on the situation. You're not responsible. But what happens if you could have called for help? You could have gotten other people to assist you. So in that case, even though the actual theft, the actual loss happened without any negligence, but since you had a way to recover it, you could have screamed, you could have yelled, and your neighbors would have come, and the police would have come, and they would have prevented the ganav from getting away. So that also would rise to a level of pshia, and even a shomer chinam would be chayiv. Another example, which today is actually extremely common, the Trumas Hadeshen discusses a case. A person was watching money for someone else. And what he did is, instead of burying it under the ground, he put it in a box under his bed. Apparently, keeping your money under your mattress is not a new phenomenon. The Trumas Hadeshen's time, they did it also. So Trumas Hadeshen begins by discussing whether that is a good enough hiding place. And he says, even though you didn't bury it, he says, because a ganav would not think of checking under someone's bed for money, it seems it was a very creative and unusual place to keep your money back then. So he says that is sufficient. Shmira, the Trumazadeshan says, you'd be potter. Now what happened in this particular case is that the money was under the bed. And one day there was a knock on the door, and it seemed someone in the neighborhood had lost their chicken. And someone had seen the chicken fly into his house. So the fellow said, okay, no problem. He let this person in to go look for the chicken. It turns out it was in that particular room where he was hiding the money. So the fellow comes in. He starts chasing the chicken around the room. And he's busy chasing the chicken around the room, under the bed, over the bed, up and down, until he finally gets the chicken, and then he leaves. The next day, the person realized that the money is all gone. And what he realized is, while this fellow was busy chasing the chicken, he must have gone under the bed, he saw the money, and he took it. Zok the Trumas Hadesh, and you're going to be chayiv. Although there was nothing wrong with a hiding place, however, letting someone into the room, giving him access to that spot, he says, that is a pshiah. Loi mi boy, if this person is a known ganav, he's a shady character. But even if he's an ish beinoni, he's a regular person, he has a regular yid, has a cheskes kashrus. But to let him into the room, to give him access to where the money is hidden, that is a pshia, and the Trumas Hadeshan says, you're going to be chayiv. Now, based on this, if a person is a shomer, he's watching someone else's money, jewelry, whatever it may be, and he has a cleaning lady, and he lets the cleaning lady into the room where he has this thing hidden, according to the Trumas Hadeshan, you're going to be chayiv. Loi mi boy, in that case, where the person had a cheskes kashrus, he says, still letting him into the room is a pshia, and you're going to be responsible. Certainly, clean ladies, which don't necessarily have a cheskes kashrus, they may not have stolen anything yet, but it's hard to say that they have a cheskes kashrus. So in that case, allowing them in the room, access to where you're watching the item, would be a pshia, and you'd be responsible. Now, I did see B'shem Rav Natali Nussbaum, a dying in Yerushalayim. He says that if a person is yotze v'nichnas, if you have a cleaning lady but you're constantly coming in and out where she'd be afraid, she's nervous, the same way you rely on that for kashrus, that you assume she's not going to do anything in the kitchen that she shouldn't be doing. So he says perhaps for shomrim as well, that if it's hidden in a place where she'd be afraid to be caught rummaging through, and you're yotze v'nichnas, you're coming in and out of the room, you're around, she'll be too nervous to look around. He says perhaps that would not be a pshia and you'd be pater. But if you leave the house for a few hours, the cleaning lady knows that you're gone, she has nothing to worry about. If she decides to go ahead and rummage through your drawers, there'll be nothing there to stop her. So that, relying on her good faith or her honesty, would be a pshia. And if anything happens, if the item gets stolen, then the shomer would be responsible to pay. Now, arguably, the same thing may apply if you go out for the evening and you hire a babysitter. Now, if you have the babysitter alone in the house, where the babysitter has access, can do whatever they want, according to the Trumas Hadeshan, if you have something which she could find in the absence of any yotze v'nichnas, then she'd be chayiv. You'd be chayiv. Now, I did see from a tshuva that says that the Trumas Hadeshan is talking about an adam beinoni, someone who you don't know. Stam Yid has a cheskes kashrus, but you know, we know, although people have a cheskes kashrus, there are unfortunately no shortage of ganavim out there. However, in a case where someone is hokzak and yedua to be an ish kosher, this is a neighbor of yours you've known for many years, very upstanding, very honest people, he says perhaps this Trumas Hadeshan would not apply, and perhaps leaving such a person or alone in the house may not rise to this level of pshia. Now again, it's a chiddush, you have to know how far to take it. Perhaps it will depend how well you know your babysitter. If it's a neighbor's child who you've known for many years, perhaps you'd have this heter. On the other hand, if you're desperate for an evening out and you just get the 8th grade class list and go down the list calling anyone, begging them to babysit for you, you'd be hard-pressed to use this heter of a yedua for tunish kosher, and in such a case, it would be very likely you'd be chayev alts pshiyah. Now, the next example in the Gemara seems to be very straightforward, but as we're going to see, it's a bit controversial. The Gemara has the following story. Person gave money to his friend to watch. The Shomer, being extremely responsible, this is in the times of the Gemara, The halacha is ein leshmira el bakarka. The only secure place is to bury the money. So that's what he did. He dug a hole in his floor and he buried the money in a very secure and safe place. A few weeks later, the owner came back and said, "Okay, I'm back. Thank you very much for taking care of it. Can I please have the money back?" Tells him, "Don't worry about it. I put it in such a great place. It's buried 5 feet under the ground. It's very secure." "Okay, good. Can I have it back?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you the truth. I know I buried it 5 feet under the ground, but I don't remember where. And unless I dig up my whole house, which will take a couple of weeks, I can't give it back to you." So the Gemara says,